Have you ever wanted to replace Razer with an alternate view engine? Probably not, but let's mash on that anyway.
Hi everybody and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to teach you how to replace the Razer view engine with the vastly superior view engine that we wrote in an afternoon.
So this is a project that the ASP.NET Monsters we did at a hackathon that was back in November when we were in Redmond together. And we did this really just as a kind of an experiment on a couple of fronts. There were two things that we wanted to play with. We knew that ASP.NET Core had been designed in such a way that it should, in theory, be pretty easy to plug in a different view engine. We wanted to see if that was really the case. And there was this other thing that we wanted to talk or play around with, which was node services. And Simon, you did an episode on that, so we'll link to that on the notes in the notes as well. But this is just kind of another example of how you could use node services in an application. So what we did here is we only had a day, right? So we weren't going to actually write our own view engine. What we did is looked at what was popular in other, you know, on other frameworks for rendering views, and we decided to try Pug, which is a JavaScript-based, view engine. That was formerly known as Jade, and this is a default for what type of node applications? I can't remember now.
I think Express.js uses right. it, or at least it did the last time I used Express.
Yeah. So I don't know how many people actually use it today for new projects, but it's out there and it's pretty fully featured, and it's not a bad view engine. So we decided to kind of dive into this and see how hard it would be to plug this into MVC Core. So we managed to get this down to a point where all you need to do is install the package, which we called pugzor.core. I think that's maybe a typo, that E isn't supposed to be there on the pugzor part. And then all you do is add pugzor to in your configure services method. So if we look at that here, this is the source code to our pugzor project, and we have a test website where we can launch this and try it out. So we already have the reference to the package, and here under Configure Services, after adding MVC, we simply do add pugzor. And that adds all the services that we need to pull in the JavaScript node services and the pieces that we need to actually render pug views. And then what happens is we can start putting in, instead in our views folder here, instead of having .cshtml files that contain Razer, we have .pug files that contain pug, which looks totally different than Razer. It probably couldn't be any more different. There are no angle brackets. It's all kind of white space based. So having the right number of tabs or spaces and indentation here is kind of how the nesting of the elements will render eventually when this gets rendered out. We can reference a layout file just like we did with Razer. So we kind of have our default layout defined here in a layout.pug, and that has, you know, the HTML and the head and body and those pieces. And then deep down inside here somewhere, there should be the
line 28.
Ooh, I'm not seeing it.
28, I think.
28 block body. Yeah, so that's where right here we have the block body defined, and this piece, when we go to that page, we'll end up in that part of the layout. So if we run this, I guess looking at the controller, it actually doesn't look any different at all. That's kind of the neat part about this, is that nothing about the controllers changes. All we're doing is, you know, we have an action method that returns a view, and we're passing in a model. So here we have just an anonymous class with a property called people, which has a list of 25 persons in it. And we also have model state, which gets passed along there. But we're really just, we're returning a view. And because we've added this pugzor view engine, and we have pug files in our view folder, it's going to render those instead of CSHTML. So it won't be using Razer in this case. When we run this, magic happens. And there's our list of people.
That's crazy. It looks exactly like it would look like if you choose Razor.
We may have copied the template for the layout. So let's dive into a little bit about how that works and what it took to make that happen. So there's a couple of pieces we had to implement. One was the view engine, which is the piece that finds our, so here's the view engine. It's in charge of locating views based on the current action context. So MVC uses this to find the view that needs to be rendered. So here what we
So this would
do,
be like the view on the page, or like on disk, or just the name of the view.
in this case, it's looking for the file, so it's looking
Okay.
for, like if it was home slash index, it would be looking for this home slash index dot pug. It's looking
Okay.
for that file. And we tried to use the same conventions that Razor does with MVC, where we have the controller name slash action name. So that's what it's doing here, is it's just trying to locate the views when MVC calls the find view method. And all it does, once it actually goes and there's some logic there in terms of normalizing those route values to get the controller an area name, but really it's just looking for that file on disk. And once it finds it, it either returns, or if it finds it returns a view engine result dot found with the name and an instance of that view. If it's not found, then it returns view engine result not found. And it includes a list of all the locations where it looked to try to find it.
Right, so this is the thing that you see sometimes, like if you forget to create a view after you've created a controller and you go to the page and it'll say like, we have tried these following six locations. This is what generates those six locations.
And the view that it returns is actually, there's not all that much to it. It has the path, so that's the file. And a pug rendering is just an interface that we're using to actually go and do the rendering of that template, so the piece that renders the view, which gets called here down in render async. Render async on iView, this interface, which is part of MVC, that's the one that gets called by the framework when it actually wants to start, generating that HTML and streaming it back to the client. So the framework takes care of that, and that's the piece that we need to implement to actually go and render our views. So at that point, we call, this is kind of where the magic happens in PugXor, is in the pug rendering. This is where we get into node services. So in a pug rendering, right down here in the render method, is where we call invoke async on a little module that we called pug compile, and we're passing in the model, the view data, and the model state so that all those things can get passed over to pug and rendered as part of the pug template. This is where we all of a sudden switch into JavaScript, and that ties into the node services piece that you were talking about, Simon. So the node services here that we're referencing allows us to just invoke that piece of JavaScript as though it was part of our application, which I guess it is now. So at that point, we're just calling pug as in the exact same way that anybody would if they were using pug in a JavaScript application, passing in the model and returning the string that is the generated HTML, which then gets streamed back to the client. And that's pretty much all there is to it.
So I noticed in that pugcompile.js we're attaching view data and model state to the model itself,
Right.
because you end up with basically just like a single model that you're gonna pass into this pug function, unlike MVC where there's a view data and model state. So this information is still accessible inside of the pug templates, but you need to do like model.viewData dot something or other. I don't know if we have an example of that somewhere.
We do have an
Yeah,
example here of the
so.
model state. So we're, there's viewData.title.
So.
And then same with get it accessing the model state. Then there's neat things here, like if we have a line with a dash, then we're in
Would
JavaScript
anybody.
mode, so then we can actually, and when we run this, If we look at our debug window, or debug output, I would expect this console.log right here that logged out the view data should show up in my debug output, if I remember correctly. Maybe I lied about
further
that.
Down from where you are towards the bottom. There it is, a little bit further up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is. That's very small. I was expecting something bigger.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty small model for this one.
But... yeah, all we had in the view data was the title, that's right. So welcome to PugZor.
Yeah. So the one thing to remember is that if you have a model and you're using PugZor, probably don't have something called model state on your model.
Yes, that might be a problem.
Because we will clobber the heck out of it.
Yeah, we will replace it with something that you completely don't expect, which should lead to some interesting bugs.
Yeah, I feel like that deserves a mention in a README somewhere. So this is available on NuGet.
Yep, it's on NuGet and GitHub.
But it is heavily like version 0.01 alpha something, so...
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, feel free to use it. We would love to hear about people using it. Is this a joke? You know it's a quality product when the first entry in the FAQ is this a joke?
True story.
So, please go out and use it somewhere. If you do, let us know. We'd be curious to see what application it has. We were thinking that a good application for it would be porting an existing application that already had a bunch of pug views over to using ASP.NET. It's actually surprisingly performant. We have some optimizations in mind that would improve that even more, but you know, it was fast enough that we weren't like concerned about how slow it was.
Yep. The only piece that's a bit slow is that initial startup. Like on the first request,
yeah, so,
but after that.
So there's a little bit of penalty for that because the actual PugZor DLL that you would download includes all of the node modules zipped up inside of it. So it is a fairly beefy sort of file. So that is potentially problematic because during the first execution of it will go and unwrap that whole thing and dump it out to a temp directory on disk, and then we'll just use that going forward. So I don't think there's really any way of getting around that, but it's a startup cost, so we're prepared to pay it once.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, as per usual, please feel free to leave us a comment or ask us a question in the section down below right there, and if we read your comment on air or we answer your question, you will be the owner of a fabulous, not the laptop, good try, but an ASP.NET Monster sticker. Ooh.
Fantastic.
Shiny. We would love to send you one, so we will see everybody next time on the ASP.NET Monsters.